Hey, man, we're going to launch a new series called Be Revitalized. Everybody say, Be Revitalized.
Be Revitalized.
Be Revitalized. And I want us to actually take a look at the foundational text, the foundational scripture that really Revitalized Church is being founded on. If you turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Isaiah chapter 61. And as you're turning there, I just want to give some context to even to this, not to this exact passage in this moment, but actually I want to kind of share with you the importance of this passage in the Bible. You know, when Jesus, after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and descended upon him, down upon him like a dove. And then after that, that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days. And in that time, he was tempted by the devil. He overcame that temptation. And then the Bible says that he came out of the wilderness with the power of the Holy Spirit on him. And when you read Mark's account, today, if you're reading our Saw Life reading, we even read it in Matthew today. I believe it was today that we read that. But in Mark's account and in Luke chapter 4, actually says that Jesus went around and he was teaching in synagogues and he was preaching. Jesus was healing the paralytics. Jesus was healing people with leprosy. Jesus was healing, he raised a little girl to life. I mean, Jesus was performing all kinds of miracles, and he went to his hometown. Everybody say hometown. Okay, he went, but this is really important, because this is important for us. He went back to his hometown, to the city of Nazareth. The Bible says that this is where he was brought up, and everybody knew him. And let me just kind of give you some even context of that. So Jesus was the firstborn to a teenager who was impregnated, and no one knew how she got impregnated, because Joseph was like, that ain't my baby. And so I can only imagine the rumor that was around Jesus and the family. And he had some brothers and sisters, and so he goes into the synagogue, and he actually reads what we're about to read. And he goes in there, and after he reads it, he sits down, and he goes, today it's fulfilled in your hearing. Like, I'm the man, right? Like kind of like that, but he goes, today it's today this is fulfilled in your hearing. And everyone's response was, they were looking at him, and the Bible says that they were even offended, because they said, we know him. And we know his family. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. We know his mama. We know his daddy. Like, we know him. How does he, all of a sudden, get to say that he is the fulfillment of this prophecy that we've been waiting for, the Savior, this Messiah? And the Bible says that he couldn't do any miracles, couldn't really do a lot of things because of their unbelief, because they couldn't get past what they thought of him. He was able to do it in other places that they didn't really know him, but in the place, his hometown, all of a sudden, it's like they had this idea of who God already was, who Jesus already was, I should say, and they just couldn't receive his ministry. And so because they couldn't receive his ministry, he couldn't do anything in their life except for heal a few people, the Bible says. And let me just say this. We've been in this community for some years, and God is doing something fresh in us. And what I'm going to read, I believe it's our mandate. It's what the Lord is calling us to be and to do, and what he wants to do in us and through us. And if we're not careful, we'll say, yeah, I heard something like this before. And if we're not careful, we're going to say, yeah, I heard good vision before. Never happened. And God will say, I've been doing special things all around, and I came to you, and I want to do something special in and through you. Will you receive me? Will you receive this new thing? You may think you know me, but I want you to know me better, in a sense. And so I want to read this Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. And this is the same passage that Jesus quoted and read in that synagogue when he went back to his hometown. And I'm going to show you really four things that I believe the Lord is speaking to our church. And I'm just going to kind of try to give a broad stroke, general overview of who we are, who we are now, who the Lord is calling us to be. We've been praying, we've been fasting, we've been meeting and trying to write this stuff out and really get clear on the Lord. I'm excited to share it with you. And then over the next few weeks, we're going to really just kind of park every week on each one of these four things. And we're going to really break it open. And then we're even going to talk about how we're going to do it. How is the Lord leading us to be who he's called us to be? And so let me read this, Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4, reading in the NIV. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. It's on the screen. And it says this: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I think we can sum these four verses up with four words. And here they are. You ready for this? Be revitalized, go revitalize. Can you say that with me? Say, be revitalized, and go revitalize. Okay, so here's what revitalize means. We've talked about this before, but can we put that on the screen? What revitalize means? It actually means to imbue something or someone, but to imbue, in other words, inspire and permeate. In fact, when you even look at that word and you actually start to look at the definition, it's even not just to inspire or permeate, it's like to stain with something, like to have an imprint, to truly make a change, but to imbue, inspire and permeate something or someone with new life and vitality. In other words, with a new strength, a new energy. You know, the Bible says that God is boundless in strength. He's Almighty God. There's nothing stronger than God. If anything was just a little bit stronger than God, then he wouldn't be God. He couldn't be Almighty because someone would have the upper hand on him in something. So in other words, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, in your world. It doesn't matter how dry you are. It doesn't matter how weak. It doesn't matter how weak you are. You come in and God has the fix for you. And so God is saying to us, to our church, he's saying, I want to do something in you. I want to revitalize you. I want to constantly revitalize. I want to constantly bring new life and new strength and new energy. And let me just tell you, it's only from God. It's not going to be from anything else or anyone else. You might get like a little temporary, like, oh, that's a little bit of relief. But the life and the strength, the vitality that lasts, it only comes from God. And so he's saying, I want to revitalize you. So be revitalized. But it doesn't stop there. It says, go revitalize. Go revitalize. And so let me just say it like this, even this is who we are. This is who God is calling us to be. We're a community. If we can put that on the screen even. We're a community. We're a community that actually gathers regularly together to be revitalized. We gather together to be revitalized by God and by each other. See, God actually works through people. I'm going to show you in just a moment, buddy. He doesn't just always just say, okay, I got you by yourself. Yes, he will meet you when you're alone. But the way that God designed it is actually for each of us to have different gifts and unique graces and words of encouragement that we can come together and revitalize one another. Yeah. And then we come together and we gather. We do it regularly. This is why Jesus said, as you see the day approaching, the Bible says to come together and meet even more. Why? Because you're going to need renewal. You're going to need more refreshment. You're going to need more strength. And you're going to need more encouragement because the demand is going to increase. And so you're going to need to constantly come and renew and restore. And listen, it's not just about what we do on this campus because we actually live and do most life outside of the campus, right? We're here for like maybe a couple of hours together a week. But where are you at the most? God wants you where you are the most to actually revitalize those areas. So we're a community that gathers regularly to be revitalized by God, and then we can go and revitalize our families, our friends, our neighbors, our workplaces, wherever God has you. And there's really four steps, four main things that we see in Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. I'm going to just show it to you. But I believe if you look throughout the Word, we see the same thing continuously all throughout the Word that God actually wants and has for people. Four things, and they're this, and actually this is our mission statement, and it's these four things. It's to know Jesus. Everybody say, know Jesus.
Know Jesus.
Become free. Everybody say, become free.
Become free.
Discover purpose. Say, discover purpose.
Discover purpose.
And go revitalize.
And go revitalize.
All throughout Isaiah, when you see those four verses, you actually see this whole kind of pattern. Let me just tell you, it's a process. It's not a one-time thing. I think that's what messes us up often is we think it's just a one-time shot, and it's not. It's actually a process of of getting to know Jesus better and better and coming to him and being refreshed and being restored. How many of you ever been hurt by someone or something? And you're like, I'm good. And then you see him 3 years later and all of a sudden all these feelings start to come back up. Guess what? You were never really good. You probably just learned to suppress it. And then you saw their face again. You were like, I'm gonna get you. Like, right? Or they hurt you so bad that you become frozen and you go right back to that dark place that you were in and you don't know how to get out. And God is saying, listen, there's layers to this. It's a process. I'm not expecting an overnight shift, but this is a process and we're continually just coming to Jesus and getting to know him better and allowing him to work on us and work in us. And we continue to work on and work in other people in our communities. Can you see that? Can you see that? And so I just want to show us real quick, actually, even another way that we see this, another place in the Bible. And I love, you've heard us actually read this scripture a few times, because really it's one of the scriptures that we kind of base our mission off of, even. And my prayer is actually, I've adopted this prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1 for our church, for you, for our community. And it's Ephesians chapter 1 verses 16 through 19. And the Apostle Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus, but he's not just praying for a church, he's actually praying for multiple churches, the church, the capital C church of Ephesus. But how many of you know the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this? And he knew that Revitalized Church was going to be here. He knew that you were going to be here today. He knew exactly what was going to be going on in the world. He knew what was what's going to happen tomorrow. He knew what happened 10 years ago. And this was for the capital C church, I believe, this prayer. And Paul makes this prayer, and I believe you see the same thing that you see in Isaiah 61. He says this, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and here's why. First, so that you may know him better. Remember, the spirit of the Lord is on me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. You know that word poor, it's not just financially poor, monetarily. It's actually anyone that's broken, anyone that's lost, anyone that's in a dark place, anyone that's down. The good news, the gospel, the power of the kingdom, I've come to proclaim it and to set you free so that you can have wholeness in your life. First, so that your soul can be saved, but then also while you're living in this broken, crazy world and you're dealing with stuff, you can actually become whole. So this is actually what God intends for us. And Paul is actually praying this prayer. I pray that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you can know him better. Maybe you're here today and you say, I already know Jesus. But how many of you have been in a long relationship? And the longer you get to be in that relationship, the better you get to know that person. Yeah. Been with Rach for over a decade now. You say like a decade, like it makes you start to feel a little bit like, man, I've been doing something for a while, right? Like we've been married for over a decade now, and I'm still getting to know her. She's still amazing. Like, she still amazes me. I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you had that kind of accent. Have you ever been around Rachel long? Like you'll know. She's one of the, you know, I wrote a list down when I was looking for a wife, and I was like, I want certain things. And I said this. I said, I want someone that's goofier than I am. Like, I want somebody that's more silly than me, because, and here's partly why, this is selfish, because I don't ever want anybody to put a cap on me. Like, so I need somebody that's sillier than I am, and guess what? I found somebody that is sillier than I am, way better than I am at a whole lot of stuff, but when you get to know Rachel, you all of a sudden you go, man, I didn't know. Even like last night, we were sitting around the table with my parents, who are right here, by the way, Dan and Clint. Well, hi, how you doing? Good to see you. We love you. Wouldn't be here without you. But we were sitting around the dinner table last night, and we were talking actually about some of the stuff that's going on in our church, and even about what we were doing yesterday in the Edison. And I found out something that I had never heard. Listen, I've known my parents for 38 years, and I found out something about them that I never knew, and it was this, and it touched my heart. It kind of was like, oh, I made sure I didn't cry at the table. But, you know, we're over in Edison yesterday working on this house so that a family can get in, because we're trying to help people bring their lives up. And then they share this story and they say, you know how we got our house in Detroit, right? I said, no. And they started explaining how we got our first house in Detroit, moving from Chicago. And I was just kind of sitting there like, are you kidding me? I'm over here doing what was done for us. See, I didn't know that. What don't you know about God? What don't you know about Jesus that he hasn't shown you yet that would just blow your mind and you just say, I got here because of that? You mean you worked that out for me? See, it's so that you would know him better. Because there's some stages. Now, I may have heard that story years ago, but my maturity level wasn't there. My eyes weren't opened up. I hadn't lived certain things in life yet. I hadn't done, so I didn't even catch it. May have heard it before, but I never caught it. But it's in more relationship. I don't care who the person is, more conversations, more fellowship, you begin to know him better. So that's the first thing that Paul prays for us. And in fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and this is really important for us as we get to know Jesus, Paul says this. He says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. So I want you to know this. We will never put a weight on somebody to know Jesus. And we'll never put a weight on somebody to know him better. Our ability to be saved and to know Jesus is all by his grace. You don't earn it. It's a gift. Everybody say, it's a gift. Yes. It's free. Just say it. It's free. You get to know Jesus without having to jump through hoops. Isn't that nice? So we don't ever want to put more weights, more bondage on people to make them get closer to God. No, you can get as close to Jesus as you want to, and it's all free. You don't have to earn, like, well, you know, when I've been saved for 10 years, then, you know, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I've worked that, then I'll get to understand that revelation about Jesus. Nope. It's just a matter of you being in fellowship. Isn't that good? Yeah. Okay, one person thinks that's good. Here's number two. He says this. He says, and I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. In verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And this is where we believe that the Lord is saying, help people become free. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians 3:16. Paul says this, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. In other words, they can see now. Pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you can see. And here's what happens. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. So when you can see, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. You can actually engage on deeper levels and actually begin to see some things correctly. And your eyes get opened up. He says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord is. See, God's heart for us is that we continue to come up. As Jesus is, so are we. That's the desire, that we would come up into the same level of freedom, same level of grace, same level of healing that Jesus is in. In fact, he took on everything so that we could become free. But this is why we need the eyes of our hearts to be opened up. It's a process. Everybody say, it's a process. But Paul doesn't stop there. And he says this. He goes on and he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you. Would you just say this for me? Say, I have a calling. God has called me to something great. See, everyone has unique gifts and unique graces, and oftentimes people are confused. They're frustrated because they're trying to figure out where they fit in church. They're trying to figure out where they fit in life because it just seems like they just don't fit anywhere, but they haven't had anyone come along maybe and sit down with them and show them and help them see this is how God uniquely designed you and even affirm it. And see, this is one of the reasons I love church and I love our church. We're a diverse church. Church is supposed to be diverse. Not everyone's supposed to be the same. If everybody's the same, like, there's going to be a big old nose just, like, walking around all the time, right? Like, just one big nose by or one big toe, right? Like, who wants to be let's just be a big toe all the time? Like, no. Let's be a whole body together, right? Like, if I'm the toe, that's fine. As long as I'm connected to something other than just another big old toe, right? Like, come on. We're all different, and so we all fit together. That's the purpose. If you're the same, it's hard to fit together. Are you hearing me this morning? So this is where we get our discover purpose. We want to help people discover their purpose. In Ephesians chapter 1, I love this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Like, it's only in Jesus that you actually really find your true identity. It's only in Jesus that you actually figure out why you're on this earth. And he doesn't stop there. He goes on. He says, long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. You just need to receive that. Listen, long before you heard of Jesus, he had his eye on you. Like you're out doing your stuff, all up in your mess, right? Whether you're 2 years old and it's mess, or whether you're 50 and you're in your mess, okay? It doesn't matter. While you're in your mess, and maybe like you've had some, maybe you're even one of those, like I've been in my life, where you gave your life to Jesus, but you're in the middle of some mess right now, and you just need your way back. And he's saying, while you're not even looking for him, long before you even heard that he has freedom for you, and he has a purpose for you, he has some good things for you, he's got his eye on you, and he's had his eye on you. And in a good way, he says this, he had designs on us. He had designs on us. In other words, he was planning. He had designs on us for glorious living. And check this out. It's part of the overall process he's working out in everything and everyone. You need to know this. I pray that our church knows this, that you know this, that you are part of the overall process or solution, I should say, of everything being worked out. So you see issues. Anybody walk around places and you just see problems? You know why you probably see that problem? It's because he designed you to fix that problem, to be a part of the solve. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever like read a piece of like an email, or you see a communication piece and you go, the spelling is wrong. That's not where you put a comma. That's a run-on sentence. That should be a capital, right? Like that should not be a colon right there. That should be a dash. I'm okay. Now I'm out of my like league right here. Okay, and I got teachers back there, and they're like, "Yeah, get it right, right?" That's why she's a teacher, and that's why she's that kind of a teacher. I'm this kind of a teacher. Okay, you should see me in meetings. Like, I'm not a great speller. I love spell check. Okay, and the team is so gracious with me. And I'm like, "How do you spell that?" And they just go, "Whatever's in your heart, just." Spell it. I'm like, I don't know if I feel good about that. Like, somebody else needs to get on up here, because you just sitting here going like, oh, baby, like it's okay. Like, whatever's in your heart, you're fine. Like, just do it. No, I want it spelled right. I'm confused right now. But listen, there's a purpose that God has you on this earth for. I don't care how you got here. Someone may not have planned for you to be here, but God had his eye on you. He always had his plan for you. Now, maybe you didn't come to this place, to this earth. Maybe you weren't born in the best of circumstances, but that doesn't mean that God has not had a plan for you. You weren't born and then God was like, oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to, okay, what are they going to be good at? No. He already put it all on the inside of you. You're part of the solution. And then here's the fourth thing. It's go revitalize. We see that. I'm just going to read Isaiah 61, verse 4. See, these people that have been poor, that the gospel came to them, that listen, they've been broken, they've been lost, they've needed a savior, and they came in Isaiah 61, 1, right? And the gospel was preached to them, and they received it. And he doesn't stop there. He says, I came to set the captives free, to bring the oppressed out of oppression, right? To bring those that are lost, that are in dark places, bring light to them, those that have been mourning, to bring joy into their life, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Like it's your divine reset time. Like, it doesn't matter what's gone on in your past. Like, I have a whole new story for you. Like, everything made new right now. The Bible says that we're new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. It's these people. And then they're going to be called. Listen, you may have been called one thing yesterday, but today, listen, you're called an oak tree, like, of righteousness. And you've been put on display. You may look at yourself and look at your past and feel shame. And God's saying, no, I'm putting you on display for my splendor. Like, you're glorious to me. And these people that are receiving Jesus and getting to know him and know him better and becoming free and healed from past hurts and issues and starting to move in some stuff. And then they're discovering their purpose and who they are and how God has uniquely designed them and graced them. And they're getting trained up and equipped. That's actually my job, is to help equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Like, you guys are awesome, okay? I'm here to help you go and be all that God has called you to be and do everything he's called you. That's my main role. He says these people that have been in these issues and they've maybe even looked at themselves kind of like, I'm not good enough. He's saying, but I call you an oak of righteousness and I'm putting you on display for my splendor. He says, and here's what you're going to do. The unqualified, here's what you're going to do. They, those people that maybe even people said, you'll never amount to anything. Those people, here's what it says. They will... He didn't say, I will. It says, right, he started out, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to do something for you. And then the narrative changes. And he says, and now they will rebuild the ancient ruins. Anybody see anything in their life? Maybe in their family, maybe even in their community that it used to be awesome and now it's just this ancient ruin that needs to get rebuilt. And they will restore the places long devastated. There's some areas that are long devastated in our lives, in our families, in our community. And it says this, they will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Be revitalized. Go revitalize. Are you seeing this? Be revitalized. Everyone just say it. Say, be revitalized. Go revitalize. Now say this. I am being revitalized.
And now
I'm going to go revitalize. And maybe you say it and you kind of go, I don't know about that. I got the I'm being revitalized part, but I don't know if I can really do that. Or this is the one that like always stings a little bit. I don't know if I really want to. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever, like, I hated school growing up. Like, I hated school, and I'm about to tell myself, Mom and Dad, I apologize. Can't believe them. But, you know, confess and you'll be forgiven. This was years ago. Like, I was like 8, 9. I didn't do it past elementary school. But I'm not going to say any names. It wasn't Ramon. Shirley wasn't my older brother. But the only way that we could get out of school was if we were, like, throwing up, like, sick, right? Am I right? He said, that's right. Okay, so now he's here, so he's like, that's right. So someone taught me one day how to make vomit. I'm not going to tell you all of that. I know this is gross, right? But anyway, I put a whole bunch of nasty stuff. I mean, there was nail polish remover. There was all kinds of stuff that I put in this bag. And then here's what I do. I go into the bathroom. This is how badly I did not want to go to school, y'all. I go into the bathroom. I, like, crack the door. And I'd be like, ugh! And I would just pour all this stuff out of this bag. And then just sit there. And it stunk so bad, nobody wants to be in there. I'm like, oh, I threw up. I feel so bad. And they'd come in there, and they'd look. And they would, like, they didn't want to touch it. And they were like, okay, you're not going to school today. I'm like, I'm so sick. I'm sorry. And they were like, okay, you can lay down and watch TV. Okay, thank you. So I apologize. I repent. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Love you. That's why you tell them when you get older. Now, can't do nothing to me now. No, I'm joking. See, I should have said that, man. I was nervous now. I'm like going back to my house, like, oh, we can do some stuff, man. I'm your mama. I brought you into this world, boy. I'm the one that makes sure that you stay in the world, right? I'll say it like that. But sometimes I think with God, we hear God call us to some things and we do that. We make up a reason or an excuse of why we can't go because we just don't want to, right? Like, it's just not in us. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. This is going to be our last verse that I read here. And I think this is going to help all of us. It helps me because there's days I don't feel like it. I don't feel like doing the right thing. I don't feel like giving of myself. Anybody hear what I'm talking about? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, in the Passion Translation, I just like how it reads. And it says this: God will continually revitalize you. Look, give you new life, give you strength, give you ability. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. Listen, as we kick off, as we launch Revitalize Church, maybe you're a little worn out. Maybe you're like, I desperately need the first part of that. Don't even get me on the second part. And God is saying, that's fine. That's why I'm here. So that I can continually revitalize you. God wants to continually bring new life into you. Another translation says it like this, that it's God that works in us to both will, want to, and to actually do for his good pleasure. So even when we don't feel like it, even when we don't feel like we're strong enough or we can, God says, no, it's my spirit at work in you. The spirit of the Lord is on me. When you receive God's spirit, when you receive his anointing, his ministry, his grace in your life, then we can do all things because we're continually revitalized. Anybody want that in their life? Just being continually revitalized. Come on, let's all stand to our feet right now. We're going to receive the spirit. Can we receive the spirit of life from the Lord right now? I don't know where you're at today. Maybe for you, you're far from Jesus. Or maybe you know him, maybe you've been walking with him, but you could just say it and look at your life and you could say, I've been a bit apathetic. I've been a little bit like just going through the motions. I've lost some of my vigor. I've lost some of my strength. I've even lost some of my passion for Jesus and for the things of the Lord. Today, God is inviting you to renewal. He's inviting you and he's saying, I have something for you though. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I just want you to just take a moment and say, God, what are you saying to me today? Just ask him, say, God, what are you saying to me today? What do you want to revitalize in my life today? Is it in your body? Maybe some health? Maybe it's some dreams or vision, your marriage, your family. God, do your work in us. Do your work in us, God. Would you just say this, say, God, I receive. Come on, say it. Say, God, I receive your spirit, your life. Working in me. Revitalize me. Bring me new life. Restore me. Renew me. Rebuild me. And give me the ability, the want to, go and bring the same ministry to other people. Help us, God. Help me, God. To revitalize. Lord, today I'm just gonna pray for us, Lord. Today we commit ourselves, as we've already said, but we commit ourselves to opening ourselves up. And Lord, we say, do whatever you want to do in us. Do whatever you want to do through us, God. Every past thought, every pattern of thinking or way of doing things that really doesn't work for this new season, really doesn't work for you to be able to accomplish what you really want to accomplish in us and through us. Lord, we just lay it down right now. We put all that stuff off, and Lord, we say, open our eyes. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that, Lord, we can know you better. So that we can become free and be healed of past issues fully. Lord, so that we can really walk in the call and know the call that you have placed on our lives. So that we can ultimately go and really do what you said, which is go therefore and make disciples. So that we can go and revitalize, go and rebuild, restore, and renew. We love you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in our life and in this church. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you agree with that, can you say amen today? Amen.